So we were excluded. We were foreigners. Number three, we were without hope in the world, but praise God, now we have a living hope. Everybody say a living hope. A living hope. A living hope. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, pray. I love it. He's worshiping God, man. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. I don't own anything in this world that fits that description. Everything I have can be stolen, can break down, can fade, can fall apart, and it does far too often. I think you guys know what that's like. But praise God, we have an inheritance in heaven that can never perish, that can never fade, that can never spoil, and it is reserved there for you. Praise God, and it is a living hope. In other words, as long as Jesus Christ is alive, our inheritance in God is secure. I'll say that again. As long as Jesus Christ is alive, your inheritance in God is secure. Is that secure? I would say so. He's alive forevermore. And He has the keys to death and hell. He'll never die again. His presence there and the presence of God secures my inheritance in Christ. It's like an anchor for our soul. In fact, Scripture says He's like an anchor for our soul. Just like if you're on a ship and you don't want to float away while you're sleeping at night on board the ship, what do? You take an anchor, you throw it overboard. Hopefully you got a chain attached to the thing. Oh, it ain't going to do you much good. You take the anchor, you throw it overboard, it sinks down through the water and it lodges itself in the mud of the muck and the dirt below in the ground. And as it's stuck in there, it anchors the boat. The boat ain't going nowhere because it is anchored at a distant place that is secure. Well, Christ Jesus is our anchor and He is in the very presence of God. That is where our hope is secure. Not in our control, but in the very Holy of Holies, where Christ sits at the right hand of God and He lives ever to make intercession for us. He is there right at this moment, interceding for you, praying God, all of God's fullness and blessing into your life. And He is our high priest. He reconciled us to God with His own blood. What can stand between us and God? Praise God. That's security. We now have a living hope. We were without hope. Now we have a hope that cannot be shaken and an inheritance that cannot fade away. Number four, we were without God. Now we have a relationship with God who indwells us by His Spirit. Now we can know God. Not only know about Him, now we can know God face to face. Right now through a mirror darkly, but then that mirror is taken away and we will see Him face to face. Jesus said in John 17:3, and this is eternal life. Not just that we hang around forever, not that we never die, you know, you can jump off a building, jump in front of a car, you ain't going to die or something like that. Jesus said, yeah, okay, but this, more importantly, this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. That belongs to us, that we can know God, that we can enter into the very relationship that the Father had with the Son and the Holy Spirit before time began. That eternal life, that eternal love that just was that just flowed between them. We enter into that very love relationship with God. And He loves us in Christ as though He were loving Christ Himself from all eternity. That's why He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It has no beginning. It has no end. It is boundless. It is infinite. It is limitless. And there is no good thing that I will withhold from you. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Be of good cheer. You're going to have some things that rattle your cage a little bit. Be of good cheer. You're going to have some times that are not so much fun. That's okay. Be of good cheer. You're going to have some times in this world. You're going to have some things that work out great and things that don't work out great. You're going to have some things that are fun and some things that scare you to death. But no matter what you face, whether it's trials or tribulations or anxiety or challenges, His command to us is this: be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And there is nothing that stands in your path that I have not overcome by my death and resurrection, by my sovereign power and my lordship over everything. You are in me. You are my friend. You are my family. You are my flesh, the flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. We are the bride of Christ. And He loves us like a groom. If you can imagine a groom all dudded up, man, just looking his best for his bride. Every hair in place, every thing on him just screams out glory and beauty and majesty. And if you can imagine this bridegroom standing, waiting in anticipation for his bride. And when she comes through that door and everybody around just stands up and there's this collective gasp in the room as the beauty of the bride comes through those doors. And she is looking like a queen. And you know, I love the face of a bride. That's why I love being a pastor, man. I love a wedding, boy. Man, when the bride comes up that aisle, her face literally is lit up, man. It is shining. I don't know how it happens. I don't know what they do. Whether it's some kind of, stuff they put on their cheeks or something like that. I don't know. Go figure. But, you know, it's explosive. It's like radiating off. Libby's got that smile right now. I think she's still got some of that glow going on. You know, it's amazing. The bride comes and her face is radiant. Her eyes are lit up. Her smile just beams. And when she comes walking down the aisle, being escorted down the aisle towards her groom, you can almost feel the groom's heartbeat start to race and his pulse start to quicken and his breath start to come as he is just waiting in anticipation for this one whom he has given his life to and his heart to. You know what? That's who you are in Christ. And when Christ sees us, he sees us as his bride. Let that sink in for a moment. Do you know that's how Christ loves you? Can you imagine a more perfect passion than that? That's how Christ sees you. And he is not ashamed to be called our Lord, our friend, because that's how much he loves us. And he stands in the presence of God for us saying, yes, that's her. She's mine. That's my bride, Father. Bless her. Please bless her. That's who you are. That is who you are in Christ. If one day he's going to do this. One day he is physically, literally coming back. And I believe he is spiritually in our midst right now because he indwells all of us. But if you could see him standing in this room as he walks in the midst of his church, as it says in the book of Revelation, if you could see the look in his eyes for you, it would knock you out of your seat. It would knock you out of your seat. That's his love for you. Unconditional. I don't care what's in your past. I don't care what's in your future. He has called you his own. And that's how much he loves you. Praise God. No matter what trials or tribulations have come, he has promised that in the midst of them, we will discover how faithful our God is. We will discover how near he is to us. We will discover how he is able to sustain us through them so that we can be assured that he truly is in control of our lives and his love for us is invincible. Nothing can defeat it. Nothing can stand in its way. Nothing can take it away. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall angels or principalities or powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, tribulation, none of these things. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And as we walk with Him by faith through all of those things, we grow in assurance that all of His promises that we talked about, all of those things He's given to us, both now and in the future, are real and are true and are infinitely secure. And I don't dare make light of any of the challenges that we face. But all I can do is proclaim what God has said in His Word and pray that He would give us the grace to stand on those promises so that we can discover who He truly is. So when we say, I know God, we can say it with experience. We can say, I not only know Him, I have known Him, and He has shown Himself faithful to me. I'll just throw this in. A guy named Polycarp back around 80 BC or something, just barely a century after Christ died. He was a disciple of the Apostle John. And they, when he refused to worship the gods of Rome, they sentenced him to death. And they put him in the arena. And they said, we'll give you one last chance. You take a pinch of this snuff and dedicate it to the gods of Rome, and we'll let you off the hook. Just deny Christ, we'll let you go. And he said, 84 years have I known Him, and He has never betrayed me. Why should I betray Him now? He says, I know Him, I have known Him, and in 84 years He has never been unfaithful to me. I'm not about to turn my back now. He said, bring it on, light the fire, set me on fire, send me home, I'm ready to go. That's a man who knows God. That's a man who knows his God. That's what God wants for all of us, to know Him and experience Him so that we can be in that same state of faith like Polycarp. Just bring it on, baby. You threaten me with fire, and you're not afraid of the fire that burns forever? Bring it on. Send me home. I'm ready to go. Praise God. We're going to talk some more about Cornelius next week. We're going to talk about Peter too. But praise God, it's good to be a Gentile in Jesus Christ.